This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, and welcome to Sunday Supplement in a week when the world will probably end, so it doesn't really matter what this episode is going to be like, I think. They're switching on the Large Hadron Collider, and a lot of people think that that means the world is going to end.
I don't think they think the world is going to end. I think they feel the world is going to end. I don't think they're using any thought process at all to arrive at that decision.
That is probably true. We don't think the world's going to end.
No, we think that either scientists will be like, oh, we were right, and the world is unnecessarily complicated, or, ho-ho, we're wrong, now we have to revisit all of particle physics.
But if we're wrong and the world does end, we're not going to look stupid.
True. Also, we don't have to make as much effort about this podcast.
Yeah.
So to be fair, you know, if you're listening to this, it does mean that the world didn't end and you should be happy whatever you get.
Yeah. Be grateful, damn it. So, what paper did you buy this week?
This week I bought the Mail on Sunday.
And why on earth would you have done that? It being possibly the last paper you're ever going to buy.
If it's the last paper you're ever going to buy, you want it to be the dirtiest. It had 200 free spring flowering bulbs, which I thought was an excellent giveaway. They're worth over £23. And to be fair, I did actually think, oh, bulbs, as in something you can plug into your ceiling and maybe spring flowering, meaning they were coloured and make your room look all funky. But no, I didn't think that. That would have been a ridiculous thing. I apologise for lying for the sake of a poor comet artifice. And also, the Mail on Sunday comes with two free magazines, including an article about Leslie Ash and why she would have all cosmetic surgery.
And I presume you think that there's quite a lot in there worth talking about.
There's loads, actually. I've got quite a lot of interesting articles to shout about, talk about, and genuinely masticate over.
Chew on is what you're getting at there. Right, okay.
Yeah. What paper did you buy this week, Simon?
Well, I'm not telling you, because I bought a paper that should ordinarily have been very good and should have sort of thrown up a lot of things worth talking about. But I read it about five times from cover to cover, and it's rubbish this week. There's nothing in it whatsoever. So you are going to win.
Yeah.
But rather than just giving you the victory, I've decided that I'm not going to tell you what paper I bought, and it's going to be your job to guess at the end of the episode which paper I bought. And if you guess right, then you win.
Is it Rumpelstiltskin?
No.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how many guesses I'm going to give you at the end of the episode. I think it depends on how nice you are to me.
Well, my mother said she listened to the episode and she was very impressed with Tom Greaves's well-spokenness, and she was very impressed with the fact that he was very polite and courteous and nice, and I was abhorrent. And she told me off for this. She also told me off, though, for not calling him a fascist enough, because it was a very Tory-dominated episode, and she wants to make it clear that in this household, she says, we do not agree with the Tory party.
Okay.
Or pass solids into the downstairs toilets.
Right, so I've already made it quite clear I'm not really going to cut out and keep anything from my paper. I say my paper, it really is its own paper, really. But I suppose I've got to talk about something. So I found this thing called 12 Steps to the White House, and it's based on the 12 Steps program of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
And it's 12 things that each candidate has to do to become president. And not one of them is have a good policy or anything like that. It's all about how to play to the media. And
to admit they have a problem.
Well, at no point does it say admit you have a problem and accept God as whatever.
No, it's not accepting God. It's accepting a higher power. Remember, the 12-step program, although fundamentally a religious program, it does say that the higher power can be a rock.
Right. It's just awful, this thing. It's talking about... It makes one good point, that both vice presidential choices were completely cynical and undermined some of the main core messages of each candidate.
I don't think Sarah Palin's thing was completely cynical. What are you saying?
Well, I think more importantly, I think Joe Biden was completely cynical. And the article concludes that the one who presents their message best to the media will deserve to win. Not will win, will deserve to win. To be honest, I'm afraid that one of them will win. Because there's this expectation on just this not being Bush going on. And it can only be downhill, really.
I'm always in a quandary, because although I disagree with Republicans, both in their social policies and really quite largely in their fiscal policies, I don't want to vote for Barack Obama, even though I don't have a vote.
Why not?
Well, I'm not American. That's why I don't have a vote.
Why wouldn't you vote for Obama?
He just irritates the nose off me.
Yeah, there's something not quite there with him, I think. I don't know what it is.
It's his grandiose pontificating about nothing.
Yep, that's true.
I think that's what it is. And whereas McCain, when he does that, he genuinely looks embarrassed. He genuinely looks awkward, embarrassed, as if what he knows he is saying is absolute Tommy rot of the highest rottitude. Obama, he looks proud at what he's saying, and what he's saying is fluff. I was watching MasterChef. They did this thing where you can create a bacon foam or a garlic foam, and that's part of a meal. It's foam. That is what Obama is. He is foam.
Right. Okay, so you're basically thinking that the Democratic Party is suffering from some sort of collective malady of the head.
No, I don't think it's suffering from a collective malady of the head. I just think they're spending far too much money on democracy and they'd be better off under our sovereign rule.
Okay. So you have the Mail on Sunday. It's clearly rubbing off on you somewhere along the line. Anything in there?
How I lived on £1 a day.
Right. Is this another one of those, God, the economy's gone to hell in a handbasket and God, we need to start saving some money, damn it.
Oh yes, it's literally middle class people going, well, I can survive on £1 a day, so I don't know what they're complaining about.
And can you survive on £1 a day? Does that account for mortgage and electric bills and...
No, this is on luxury items such as food.
Well, anyone can spend £1 a day on luxury items. If they're discounting all the things like basic food and heat and shelter, then that's...
I bought a dented can of beans, 14p, a four-pack of yoghurt, 36p, and margarine, 27p, beans on toast for lunch and dinner, spent 77p.
Where did you get the bread from?
The bread she bought earlier in the week. Went to a farmer's market and feasted on samples. I mean, that's just not right. That's dishonest. But it's literally, look how many things are free. Living frugally is not as difficult as it sounds if you keep your eyes and ears open. Read every notice board and accept leaflets offered in the street. Free events are often advertised this way. Look in shop windows for book launches or art gallery openings. So she really was scrounging.
Yeah.
She was worse than the people that get called state scroungers in the Mail.
Well, she was going to art galleries and museums, which are all state funded anyway.
Yeah, and then scrounging off them. And on Sunday, she had a social buffet breakfast at church. I mean, I don't like Christians, but... Well, I do like Christians, but I don't like God particularly. But that doesn't mean that I'm cynical enough to go and steal food.
Although last week you were talking about that tomato and mozzarella sandwich. Although you bought that, I suppose.
No, I bought that. That went towards church funds. I felt guilty. It's why I feel guilty going to a health food shop and buying things like dates and bananas, even though they're the best places to buy them in health food shops, because I know it's all going to go to the homeopaths, the evil homeopaths. They're like psychopaths, but more samey.
Oh, look at you with your punnery.
Thank you very much, sir. Also, not once in the week did she give any money to the poor. I mean, how often do you go through a week and you don't buy a big issue or you don't give anything to the poor? How often does that happen?
But I imagine she's also based in her Hampstead house.
No, to be fair, she's a teacher, so she's not exactly on the highest
pay grade. A pound a day isn't paying her mortgage, is it?
No.
Or her rent?
No. In fact, 4 months on, I probably still spend less than £5 a day. A measly sum to most people, but an absolute fortune to me.
I bet she goes round all her mates' houses and eats all their food and then just doesn't put that in the book. I bet all her mates now think she's a scrounging tyke.
Well, particularly as she presumably doesn't buy them anything.
Oh, exactly.
I don't understand why she's doing it. The average young woman, according to her, spends £289 a week.
Is that on the things that she's buying for a pound, or is that including their rent?
That's basically £82 a week on clothes, accessories and shoes, £46 toiletries and makeup, £64 on socialising, £19 on phone bills.
£80 a week on clothes? I think I've spent that much on clothes in a year.
But you're not a young woman.
That's true, I'm not a young woman.
You're almost the opposite of the young woman, but I'm not going to say that because I'm being nice. Any clues?
Old man?
No, I didn't say that. You're not an old man, Simon. Oh.
Oh, poor me. This is disconcerting. I have actually given you a clue during this.
Have you?
About what paper I have, yeah.
I wasn't listening.
Letters then?
Well, emails.
Well, yeah, possibly. I'd quite like to get a letter, but that would mean basically giving the internet my address.
Once you do that, you're just going to have loads of fangirls round licking at the windows.
Is that supposed to be a good thing?
No, because they're quite irritating, fangirls. They will squeeze you until you pop.
Why did you not take the opportunity to stick it to that Boris lovey last week? Your sycophancy made me sick. And they haven't signed it.
Really?
Basically, Tom was our guest. He came on and he wasn't...
Particularly funny.
Yes, he was. He was very funny. He wasn't anything. He wasn't trying to sell anything. He came along because he liked the show and wanted to have a chat with us. And I think I would just been incredibly disingenuous to be rude to him. Because he's a lovely guy and I like him a lot. And I'm really not at all interested in hearing about how Boris is in person or anything like that. It just seems tedious and it seems to be playing into that whole personality politics
thing. I think it's quite interesting because Boris Johnson actually, unless he's in front of a camera, he just doesn't operate at all, so he just winds down into nothing and goes to sleep. You have to wind him up, he's got a key in his back.
He's camera powered.
Yeah, it's like being camera powered, only it's manually. I mean, that is what Tom's job was. He just had to grab him by the neck and squiggle the key enough and push him out in front of the cameras.
Well, I think his probably job involved a little bit more than that, but there we go. But yeah, I thought Tom was great last week.
But he is wrong. I think we need to fundamentally say that. He is wrong.
He's not wrong about everything.
Yeah, he is.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's not. He thinks I'm the best, so he can't be wrong about everything.
Well, the best at what?
The best in the podcast.
Best in the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, yes, but, you know, he thinks that Cameron is the best.
That's true. His judgment does lack somewhat. All right, okay, you've proved your point. Get on with it.
I've got a letter here from Malcolm in Sydney, and I wasn't aware that any Australians were called Malcolm, so I'm very impressed. He says, I know that my friend X, her actual name's Fiona, but I'm not going to say that on the podcast. her boyfriend is having an affair. Basically, Malcolm wants to know whether he should tell Fiona that her boyfriend's having an affair. And I think it's quite difficult because Malcolm also wants to get in her pants. So it's very difficult for him to tell her without her associating him with heartbreak and in the future not having sex with him. So, and also not believing him because she knows he wants to get in her pants.
I take it this is a Dear Izzy. It's not some random... Are you
this
sure
is
it wasn't
a dear
spam? Easy. Does it at the end of it say, please transfer £3,000 into my bank account so I can send you $45 million?
That's between me and Malcolm. Anyway, my advice to you, Malcolm, is either you don't tell her, which is a bad one because you won't get to sleep with her anyway, or you do tell her. Now, if you do tell her, I wouldn't go trying to be her friend about it. I'd actually have a your boyfriend is cheating on you party. That with banners and that sort of thing. Or if you still think that that might associate you with the boyfriend, probably best to get a massive billboard with the words, X, your boyfriend is cheating on you. Here's a picture. And that might do it. And that way she will believe you because we all believe advertising. Now, fuck off.
I don't really understand why people keep sending you their problems.
I think it's great. To be fair, I have had four this week and I only got round to Malcolm's, but his was by far the best problem. So if you've got a good problem, I will solve it for you.
Solve is probably the wrong word. Mock.
I will tell you to fuck off.
Well, there you go. That's our mailbag this week. Oh, really? We can't say mailbag. That's almost testicular.
That was our bollocks this week. The bollocks to send in.
That was the bollocks that we... examined. What? Cough. There's a joke there. I'm not doing it. So if you want to email us with your glands, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Look at that.
You can write on our Facebook wall, of course.
Yeah, I wouldn't write your problems on our Facebook wall there.
I can do, and we can all have a go at selling them. So if you see somebody writing a problem on the Facebook wall, tell them to f*** off.
We're going to talk about health now. Trouble is, I haven't got any articles about health in my paper this week. But that's mainly because the whole edition of the supplement is just about up-and-coming media and art stars, like Destiny's Children, which, for this paper, is quite apt. So what did you want to talk about health?
There was a... that was a clue, wasn't it? I didn't understand it. I was drinking 2 bottles of wine a day. Then naturopathy and a check from Paul Gascoigne saved my life.
A check from Paul Gascoigne?
This woman who was on Coronation Street and was a very severe alcoholic. It's quite distressing. She was in a lot of trouble. And then one day, by chance, she met a girl in a cafe who was studying naturopathy, a form of alternative medicine.
What is naturopathy?
It's basically all-encompassing everything. And they embrace everything from homeopathy to astrology to absolutely anything. But it's basically one of those alternative medicines which says, well, if you're ill, it's kind of your fault and your things aren't in balance, you're not eating the right things and you're not smelling the right things.
So it's a holistic approach to holistic approaches.
It is an holistic approach to holistic approaches.
Is it spiritual, though? Is it saying you've got demons inside you?
It's not quite that. Anyway, with barely enough money to buy food, there's no way she could afford the £3,000 a year fees needed for a part-time naturopathy course. Until former footballer Paul Gascoigne came to her aid.
Oh my God.
Exactly, £3,000 a year to learn absolute Tommy rot, rot of the highest tomitude. Now, basically, she was suffering with a disease which was associated with alcoholism. It's a yeast infection, Candida albicans. Candida albicans is basically a fungus that grows in your gut and it makes you crave sugar, which it lives on. And so if you're drinking a lot of carbohydrates and sugars and alcohol, it spreads. And so she was very ill. And so when she gave up alcohol, sure enough, it became better. But she also gave up alcohol roughly the same time she took up naturopathy.
Basically, she stopped poisoning herself and got better. But this wasn't what did it. It was the fact that she was doing this naturopathy or whatever it was.
Also known as naturopathic medicine or natural medicine. And it basically means that you just shun anything considered chemical. Disease indicates an imbalance in the body rather than...
a disease.
Yeah.
I've decided that I'm going to start my own natural remedy and I'm going to call it Placebonics. And it's basically just going to be bags of air that you breathe in.
Nice.
And scientists will say that we can't say that that heals you, but you know what scientists are like. So if you want to buy a bag of Placebonics, just email us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. £80 a bag.
Literally, it's herbs and foods are used to treat illnesses rather than surgery or medication. I mean, that's basically what they do.
Does naturopathy or bollocks, as I'm going to call it from now on, does bollocks say that you can cure cancer with it?
I doubt they say they use the word cure. They kind of all bundle together in the same, you know, all medicines must be evil and all vaccines must be evil.
So they think that the vaccine is causing the disease.
The thing about naturopathy is that it's basically you don't need vaccines, even though...
God. It's people like that who are going to kill us.
Yes, it's people like that who not only kill us, but kill themselves. I mean, the sad truth is that there are very, very vulnerable people in our society who can't get vaccines because they're already too ill or they're too delicate. And therefore, we need to vaccinate ourselves so that we can protect them, herd immunity.
Yeah.
And more people who don't actually are not just risking their own health. They're risking the weakest and the most vulnerable in our societies. So they deserve to be kicked in the face. They don't deserve to be kicked in the face, obviously. That was a figure of speech.
Well, I think to some extent they do deserve to be kicked in the face.
But gently, by an irony kick. I don't agree with violence.
Do you not? Do you often have arguments with violence?
I do.
I find violence quite contradictory. It's also a bit of a pedant.
Yeah.
Right, that's health. As I say, I had nothing really to talk about.
And that was something to do with Destiny's Child.
Yes, that was a clue.
I don't understand. It's time for Article or Farcical, where I, Izzy, will ask Simon which one of these articles I have made up. So he has to distinguish between the genuine articles, which are found in this week's Mail on Sunday, and the farcical, which I have made up.
Hang on. I do the introductions round here.
I'm sorry.
I feel usurped and slightly unwanted now.
Do you want to say it all again?
No, you carry on, it's fine.
All right then. Right. Sail away to the circus.
Do circuses live in water?
10 top tips for toasty toes.
Hey, nice.
What frightful twaddle?
Twaddle or twaddle?
T-W-A-D-D-L-E. So it's twaddle, isn't it?
No, it's twaddle.
Is that twaddle?
Yeah.
And hay fever has left me addicted to nose spray.
What would be in nose spray that makes you addicted to it?
Presumably there's some sort of drug in it that makes you addicted to nose spray. It's like a very, very cheap form of cocaine.
Which also will stop you sniffing.
Yeah, but she's worried that the inside of her face has been corroded.
Right, so Sail Away to the Circus. Any information you want to give me on that?
Well, it's really just about activities for children on ferries. But I thought it was an excellent headline.
I would quite like to see a circus on a ferry, especially if there's elephants.
Mm.
Right, I'm going to say that's article. Toasty Toes, I'm guessing, is all about how to keep your feet warm during the winter.
It's not even that. It's just adverts, really, for different products for the winter. So it's getting up to winter autumn things. So it's like different types of wellies that keep your feet dry. And then they've actually got a Toasty Toes heated footrest, which you can lay your feet on and put it under your desk so you're warm in the office.
Oh, see, I want that now.
Mm.
I say that's an article. So it comes down to twaddle and no spray.
What Frightful Twaddle is Craig Brown, who's that excellent reviewer. He's talking about a book.
Right.
And hay fever has left me addicted to no spray.
See, I want the no spray to be true, but I think what Frightful Twaddle is Frightful Twaddle. So I'm saying that's the farcical and no spray is the article.
All right then, so Sail Away to the Circus.
Yeah.
You're saying that's an article?
Yes, I am, yes.
You're right to say it's an article!
Etc.
And then 10 top tips for Toasty Toes.
Yeah.
Saying that's an article?
Yes, I am, yes.
I made that one up.
Ah, I want the thing that sits under the desk.
The thing that sits under the desk. I did a bit of internet research to see if such a thing exists.
So that does actually exist.
The Toasty Toes heated footrest does exist. Put it into Google, you'll find it. You can buy it. It'll make you happy.
But the article doesn't exist.
The article does not exist.
Oh.
So that leaves, so what Frightful Twaddle, that's Craig Brown's genuine thing, and hay fever has left me addicted to nose spray, that's true.
That's quite nasty, she literally thinks the inside of her face is eroding.
Well, she says she's worried that it might be.
She probably thinks the world's going to end on Wednesday as well.
I don't think anybody thinks that, Simon, I think they feel that.
Sorry, she probably feels that the world is going to end on Wednesday.
She's using literally the inside of her nose to come to that conclusion. Rather than her brain.
We want to talk about columnists now. I have 10 columnists in my paper this week, and not one of them has their own view.
Really?
Yeah, that was a clue as well.
Own view?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Own view. And it should have been good paper. It's about views.
Just tell me about your columnists, because mine are rubbish. They have nothing to say between them. 10 people have collectively written nothing this week.
Well, this is a column. He's a regular contributor to the Sunday Mail, and his name is Dylan Jones. He's actually editor of GQ magazine. Now, I saw him interviewed once on a programme, and he came across as a lovely man who knew his stuff, but every time I've read his column in the Sunday Mail, he's an absolute... Like, I just don't understand what he's on about. This time, he's not claiming that he discovered Boris Johnson this time. He's saying, hey, pal, hands off my friends. Even as you sit here, people you think you trust may be lining up your pals with a view to gasp, stealing them. And this is really weird. I've never heard of this before, but apparently he's paranoid that people he introduces his friends to often end up stealing his friends, so he doesn't see his friends anymore. And this is spreading.
Doesn't that say more about him than
it does.
His friends?
Considering that at the end he says, and how come the people who steal your friends never have any good friends for you to steal? It's like he's treating people
what?
Like some sort of like game
commodity.
Like, well, yeah, like top trumps. It's just bizarre.
It does sound almost as if all the people he has as friends suddenly realised that they don't actually like him.
But saying that, I've also got a column by Piers Morgan.
Oh no, don't, no.
Yeah.
No, no. I will not have on my airwaves.
Why not? Let's see how many people he name drops.
Oh god.
So we got Will Smith,
oh,
Martin Luther King, Jemima Khan.
We can't say Martin Luther King is a name drop. He's not saying he's met Martin Luther King, is he?
No, he's saying his son thinks he's like Martin Luther King. He's saying it sarcastically.
Oh god.
Anyway, Idris Elba, who you might know as
Idris Elba is, I know, yeah, Stringer Bell, yeah. He's English.
Donald Trump, Christina Aguilera, who winked at him.
Oh, God.
Woody Allen, who was in the gym,
right.
And didn't smile. Barack Obama's wife, Michelle.
Oof.
Stevie Wonder, Sherry Blair, James Blunt, and The Hoff.
What?
The Hoff.
The Hoff? Isn't that the monster in Empire Strikes Back?
No, that's David Hasselhoff. So, yes.
Is he doing that thing where he's listing a load of people who've been honest enough to call him a c***? to his face?
Alas, not, because he's in America and Americans are nice. See, all British celebrities recognise Piers Morgan as the man who used to edit the Daily Mirror. So all British celebrities know that he's an absolute cock who is best avoided. And basically, when he's in the UK, Piers Morgan's column is all about how Robbie Coltrane tries to punch him.
And because the Americans know him from America's Got Talent, don't they?
They're all very civil to him. And also Americans are quite civil anyway to strangers. They're very polite and friendly.
Idris Elba was British.
Yes, to be fair, he did sort of have a look at Piers Morgan's wife and was saying how beautiful she was. I tell him there's only one small problem with Miss Walden. She's dating Piers Morgan. Elba gives me a horrified look. Piers Morgan, who's that? Trying to nick my bird is bad enough, but not knowing who I am, unforgivable.
Now, whilst we've been talking about Piers Morgan, I've realised who I think Piers Morgan is. Have you seen the film Silence of the Lambs?
I have seen the film Silence of the Lambs, yes.
When Jamie Gumm is dancing in front of the mirror.
Yes.
With his penis tucked between his thighs.
I always find that very weird because that actor is also, if you've seen the detective series Monk.
Yeah, he's in Monk, yeah.
He's Monk's boss. And all I can ever think of when I see Monk talking to him is that precise scene where he has put his penis between his legs and is pretending he's a lady.
I think that's what Piers Morgan is. I think that's how he writes. It's how he acts as a columnist. Like, he stands in front of a mirror with his dick between his legs going, ooh, look at me, how pretty am I? There's a nice image to go away with.
I'm going to vom it.
Right, so basically, you said you were going to be nice to me this week, and all you've really done is talk about things that really annoy me.
Yeah, but I'm nice to you.
Well, that's true. So you've had another clue.
Cool. I think I know what it is as well with that clue.
Well, wait till the end. Time to decide who has superior supplements this week and what paper. Well, we're not doing that, are we? Because
I won.
You won already.
Hey! I don't know if I deserve to win, Simon. I think perhaps you do.
Well, this is the thing. You being nice to me is somehow affected my face.
Well, I think that you deserve to have people being nice to you, Simon, because really, it never happens.
No, that's not true. Most people are nice to me.
Are you sure they're not joking?
See, you're supposed to be nice to me. You can't say that.
No, I'm not. I am being nice to you.
No, you're not. You're saying all the people who are nice to you are actually being sarcastic, Simon. How's that nice?
No, it's just friendly advice to a friend. It's a friendly warning that people might
be mocking me.
Slightly.
So, I have given you a few clues throughout.
Well, you've given me very mixed clues. I don't know what Destiny's Child has to do with the paper I think you bought.
Well, what did I give you? I gave you a paper in its own right. It shouldn't follow the crowd. And yes. Destiny's Child. So what paper do you think it is?
All the Women, Independent.
Yeah.
Throw Your Hands Up at Me.
There you go.
So is it The Observer?
Yes.
No, I thought it might be The Observer because of the different views you said, but it is The Independent, is it not?
So it was the Destiny's Child in the end that swayed you, the clue that you didn't get.
It was the clue that I only just got when I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. There are no Destiny's Child songs with The Observer in them, so that can't be it.
So there we go, that's the paper I bought with The Independent for all those playing along.
And the Sunday Mail beat it.
Oh,
it whooped
God,
it.
Of course it did. It was rubbish this week, The Independent.
Why?
I don't know. There was nothing in it at all.
See, I bought The Independent last week and it was all right.
Yeah, but that was last week. I can't bring last week's paper to the party, can I?
No, you can't, because I bought that one. Are you just not reading it right? Or not that I'm saying you wouldn't read it right, Simon, because you're lovely in every way and not an idiot.
See, you nearly got to the end of the episode being nice, but you can't.
I am
do
nice.
It.
You're not I'm very nice. I'm lovely. Readers, aren't I lovely? I think we should have an audience poll. Should Izzy be nice or not?
So there we go. If you want to join in with the fun and frolics, you can do it in many ways. I can't remember what they are.
If you want to watch Simon Frolic, he has a special website where you can.
I don't
do that
thing that Piers Morgan does either by tucking.
Oh. No.
It's not a Silence of the Lambs tribute.
No. Images.
Yes.
No.
I win.
No,
I made Izzy vomit.
No.
See? So, sundaypodcast@hotmail.com, sundayssupplement.com.
Please tell your friends and write a review.
Yeah. If you want to be one of our midweek correspondents and join in for a chat, get in touch. Join us next week when we have nothing special planned. Bye.
Goodbye.
Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.